All right, good morning. Let me welcome you to this final Sunday in the month of May, Memorial Day Sunday. So glad to have you here visiting with us, whether you're a longtime member, attendee, or first time, or passing through, or maybe you're watching online, tuning in through live stream. Welcome to our morning service here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. We are glad to have you here. As I said this morning in Sunday school, I know that there are folks who have used this Memorial Day weekend, no school on Monday, or maybe they're off work, and they may be slipping away, traveling, visiting family. So we are glad to have you here for filling in some of the spots of those that are gone. But again, we're thrilled to have you here. Appreciate many of you who prayed for our family. Had a quick trip to Kentucky and back, as quick as you can have for a graduation. Made it back safely last night after a lot of driving, but the roads were beautiful. Not tons of traffic. Beautiful day to travel, and so appreciate your prayers. Let me invite you to stand, if you will, this morning. And you might want to grab a hymnal, because you're going to stay standing right after the prayer for our opening hymn. And Brother Shane will come up here, and we'll have that opening hymn this morning on Memorial Day, then we'll hear from our choir. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, many of you have been praying for Kylie Simpson. I see some family back there. Many of you prayed for her. I believe she is home, but to recovering, but continue to pray for Miss Kylie. She appreciate her and the family appreciate your prayers. Others in our church family, continue to remember Sue Tribe, who is doing much, much better, maybe hoping to get out by next Sunday, and others that are here or not able to be with us today, remember them in prayer. I know Keith and Pat Ma still struggling with some sickness and things that they can't shake. And so when you see people missing for several weeks, I certainly hope, I know many of you do a good job, check on them, visit them, call them, make sure they are well, do what you can to be a blessing and a help to them, all right? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Lord, we thank you so much for the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. Oh, Lord, as we're reminded of even in Sunday school, Lord, we are blessed beyond measure, Lord, compared to the vast majority of this world. Lord, not just in monetary things and in all the things we have to enjoy here in America that other countries, but Lord, our freedoms. Lord, we certainly understand as we thank you for that. Our hearts are heavy, though, Lord, as we look at the condition, the spiritual condition of our country. Lord, we know that many of the freedoms that we used to have, we don't have. We still have more than probably any other country in the world, but Lord, we know they are slowly and yet quickly, even quickly fleeing and eroding away as America turns its back, Lord, on the scriptures and the truths. Lord, help us not just to complain about that. Help us not just to get discouraged about that. But Lord, may we be a part of the solution, not just by praying, but Lord, by living, by acting, by defending, by standing on the word of God and the truths of scripture for our country. We thank you, Lord, for many unnamed, many that we know, family and friends, relatives, who paid the ultimate price, Lord, by giving their life, perhaps during a battle, perhaps just protecting our country, and perhaps even on a foreign field, Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend. We want to thank you, Lord, for those who love this country dearly, lost their lives, Lord, for our freedom that we enjoy today and certainly will enjoy tomorrow on a national holiday. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today. Lord, our greatest prayer today is that each one here today or watching knows you as Lord, as Savior, has trusted in you for salvation, Lord, forgiveness of sins, and is on their way to heaven. Lord, may no one be trusting in a form of religion or a creed or works today, but may be trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Lord, because of that, we have great liberty and great freedom through Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We ask your blessing on the service, the singing, all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing as Shane comes.
All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to 495, 495. Count your blessings, 495 in our hymn books.
When upon my billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings in them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings in them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many in the conflict, whether great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is over all. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thank you. You may be seated. This time, the choir is going to sing Holy Manna.
Amen.
We're going to take our songbooks once more and turn to 112. God leads us along. Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn number 112.
I have heard.
They are slipping out. Let me just briefly introduce our speaker, our preacher, our missionary, Dave Kimmel. If you were here in Sunday school, then you had an opportunity to hear from Dave with the men, Miss June with the ladies, and they've been part of our church missionary family now for probably 5+ years, training the nations. Hail out of Wisconsin. We're glad that they're able to be with us today. So Dave, you come, pull out your Bibles, be ready to hear the word of God. So glad the Kimmels could be with us this morning.
Thank you, preacher. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's been 2 years since we've been here. Give you a quick update on things. June and I, each of the last 2 years, 21 and 22, we were in 31 of the different states, not the same states each year, and put on a little over 30,000 miles on the car each year, and we enjoyed it greatly. Spoke in conferences, missions conferences, pastors and wives conferences. Interim pastored 3 churches, 2 of whom now have pastors and are doing well. One was about 30 minutes from our house, so got to sleep in my own bed. That's a blessing. Amen. And the other one that has a pastor is in southwest Wyoming, the booming metropolis of Farson, Wyoming, a town of 300. It's an hour one way to the grocery store. Not your favorite grocery store, a grocery store. You understand? And the only thing between the Eden Valley and the grocery store was sagebrush, cattle, mule deer, things of that nature. Amen. But it's beautiful. It was in the valley, 6,700 feet elevation. If you were a hunter, you could sit on the back porch of the parsonage and shoot mule deer and antelope almost every day. And I never did because I didn't have a license, all right, and all. But beautiful area. Their pastor starts first Sunday in July. If all goes well, June and I will be there the week before he's being ordained in Vernal, Utah, and then the next week installed there at Eden Valley Baptist Church in Farson. The other church is closed down, and it needed to be. It was a disaster. For the first time in our lives, June and I checked the statute of limitations on some crimes, and had they not passed, we would have turned the previous pastor's wife in. All right? We've never, ever checked something like that, but it was a mess. We've never seen anything like that. And all. But anyway, we've enjoyed it. We've traveled. Let me give you an idea what our schedule was like. I'll just give you about a month last year. And the doctors have told us that we cannot maintain our schedule. I always thought that bringing your age up was against the law. But the doctors have had no trouble doing that. I don't understand. Next month on the 14th, June turns 39. For the 29th time. 10 days later, I turn 68. All right, and all. But this towards the end of October last year, I had preached at a place, and on this Saturday, June spoke three times at a ladies' seminar, much like what you have here. We flew out and went to Ambassador Baptist College to see Charlie, and we were there for their mission conference representing our mission. We flew out of there Friday night, got to our house about 6 o'clock. Saturday, we were back on the road before lunch. We just did our laundry, repacked. We drove 7 hours in a mission conference in Kinross, Michigan. Does anybody here know where Kinross, Michigan is? It is another booming metropolis in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan of about 300. Church runs 425. I mean, it's not nowhere, but it's close. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, if you know where Interstate 75 hits the Canadian border at Sault Ste. Marie, comes south 15 miles, that's where the church is. We were there, spoke, June did some things, I spoke, June did some things, and all of that. We drove home, got home late Thursday night. Saturday, we left, drove 6 hours up to another part of the Upper Peninsula. Sunday morning, we both did Sunday school. I preached at lunch, afternoon service, drove home 6 hours. The next day, on Monday, we left for a missions conference. Got home later that week. We spoke away that weekend. Got home Monday or Tuesday. Thursday was Thanksgiving. We had people saying, come over and eat with us, and we were polite and said no. Our kids said, fly down. We said, no. They said, what are you going to do? We said, we're going to eat turkey, watch football, and do nothing. All right? That was pretty much our schedule. And that was not an exceptional month. That's just kind of normal. And we're a little beyond that at this point. And we have to show some better sense and slow down. We started the year out in where we were in Farson, Wyoming, there for two or three Sundays, had to get home. June, on January 31st, had double spinal fusion surgery, and she's doing well, recovering. We flew to South Carolina the end of April, beginning of May. My mother is there in an assisted living. She turned 91 on the 10th. So forth. By the way, my mother hates this, all right? And our oldest daughter and four of our grandchildren, her husband lived there, and June made that trip okay. And this trip, we were on Mother's Day, we were on the coast of Maine at a supporting church. that next week our son and his wife, and he'll be 2 years old next month. They live in Western Connecticut. We got to spend some time with them. And last Sunday, we were at Victory Baptist Bible Church there in Layman. Saw several of you. And then Wednesday, we were down in Quakertown at Bible Baptist Church in Quakertown. And then we were back in Connecticut with our son for a couple days. And now we're here. And we're sorry we have to leave, but we do. We have a meeting on Tuesday. The last two times we were here in this area, we left the next day and drove and spent the night at our house in eastern Wisconsin. We live about halfway between Green Bay and Milwaukee, there, 20 miles from the Lake Michigan. And we can't do that anymore. So we have to leave, and then tomorrow night we'll be at another supporting church, close pastor friend there in Michigan, Tuesday meeting, and if everything goes well, we will spend the night at home. Now, June has hand surgery June the 6th. They're doing four things to her right hand. This knuckle has been pushed out because of arthritis, or putting it in, fusing this one, carpal tunnel, and she has a trigger finger. Any of you ever heard of this trigger finger? You know, well, she's got one. It's there at the base of the middle finger. Don't ask me to explain it. She has it, all right? And they're taking care of that. June the 1st, we find out if I get a new hip or not. All right? Between the two of us, you couldn't take all the parts, the good parts, and make one body. All right? It just, you know, and it's just where we are. It's what's going on. And we're not whining. Well, maybe some, but anyway, things are going on, and we're happy to be here, okay? But do pray for us. We have several decisions to make. We're going to move. We had to join a different church. The church I pastor changed philosophy, and we aren't going that direction, all right? And anyway, we were thinking of moving anyway, and now we only have three options. Pray that we make the right one, all right? The right decision. Now, June does have some books. There is a prayer card out there. Now, this is the old prayer card. We haven't gotten a new one made yet. This is when I still had hair here, no hair here. Amen? So you want one of these to see what it was like. And the next time we're here, if there is a next time, there'll be one with the beard. I get most people compliment me on the beard, say it looks like a professor or something. It's distinguished and so forth. And you know what I have learned, though, is when your hair is the color of your beard here, you can say things that you used to not be able to say. And people just kind of, you know, they're old, they don't know any better, you know, dementia setting in. The less politically correct ones just, well, never mind, I won't say what they say, all right, and all. But we've enjoyed being here with you. That song, that's one of my favorite songs that she sang for the special. And my wife could tell you, June was wondering if I was crying during it. I wasn't, all right, but I love that song. All righty, turn in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, okay? Man, it is good to see you. You know, we love going to our supporting churches, and we love going in and seeing new faces. You know what I mean? We love seeing the, I hate to say old faces. I'm not saying your beard would be silver, but the older faces that we know, and then seeing new people all the time, and we're thankful for that. We're going to look at the church at Ephesus, and we're going to call this sermon Fundamental but Frigid. Fundamental but Frigid. You know, I did not grow up in church, and when I got saved, I was in high school, and I came from a mess. I was a disaster. We're not going to go through and I'm not going to tell you stories, but suffice it to say, when you told your children when they go to school to don't hang around with the bad kids, you were telling them not to hang around with me. And I got saved, and when I got saved, my mother taught in a public school. My father worked for General Motors in St. Louis. At that time, they had a production plant, and he built Chevrolets, and I drive a Ford. It's a long story. But anyway, the finance and insurance guy at the church I pastored in town, I was his pastor, baptized. He's not going to give me a bad car. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we all got saved about the same time. And my father was wicked before he got saved. You know, and that was my background. And I wound up in a Christian school. And they weren't all over the place. I graduated from Bob Jones University. I was at Bob Jones living in the dorm as a high school student, junior and senior year. You talk about culture shock for the school as well as me. Amen. That was a two-sided goody there. I went to Bible class. I got a D in Bible the first quarter. I mean, there's 66 books in the Bible. Who knew that? You know what I mean? All this stuff. I mean, literally, all these Bible stories that your kids are learning, I didn't know them. You know what I'm saying? And stuff. So we look at the Bible. We need to look at it as a little kid on Christmas morning opening presents. You know what I'm saying? Excitement. Anticipation. It's as if God were speaking to us himself. It is the Word of God, is it not? Amen? Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Jesus is speaking. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, this is a literal church, write these things, saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and hast for my name, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would use it here today in our lives. I pray that the Spirit of God could do the work in our midst that he would desire to do. If someone's not saved, help them to get saved. For a believer that's struggling, we pray for victory for them, for repentance, for whatever the need is. Lord, we pray, God, for you to have victory here today in our lives. Bless the preaching, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get into the sermon, there's always, you know, different preachers, you wonder, what's this guy like? What's he going to do? Can he talk? Will I go to sleep? Is he boring? You know, all those things. But here's my rule, okay? If you don't say amen when I think you should say amen, that means you didn't hear me and we have to start over at the beginning. The question is, what time do you want to eat lunch? Amen?
Amen?
There you go. That's pretty good. All right. I was preaching in a Moldavian church here in the United States. They have a two-hour morning service. No junior church, no nursery. It's exciting. You know? And they have different sermons, little mini sermons. They have several choir numbers. And then they have the main sermon. That's the one I'm getting. And the little kids have been in there like an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes, you know, and stuff. Amen. All righty. Here we go. Now, here in Revelation 2 or 3, there are messages to seven literal churches. Bible teachers, conservative Bible teachers, have also said that these represent different time periods in church history, beginning with the Lord Jesus up to today. Now, we're not going to look at that at all. The messages for these churches are applicable for us today. People say the Bible's not relevant today. The Bible has never been more relevant than it is today. Amen? I couldn't have put you to sleep. We're not even through a paragraph here yet. God's word is never out of date. Ephesus was an important town in the New Testament Bible times. You know, the Apostle John pastored that church for a while. Timothy was there whenever Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy. Man, oh man, it had great commercial, political, and it was a religious center for Asia Minor. It was a trading port. So as a result of that, people were coming and going all the time. It's where they worshiped the goddess Diana, the fertility god, and the worship of God of Diana was immoral. They had over 1,200 temple prostitutes. Do you know this church, when it got started, over a period of time, the influence it had in that city, it shut down the worship of Diana. You remember reading in Acts 19 how they burned the magic books and the silversmiths rioted? That was because the church changed the culture of the city. And I believe that's what God expects out of churches today, to change the cultures of the city. And before long, this church was sending missionaries and evangelists out around the known world at that time. You know, the problem that we see in American churches is that too many believers are trying to conform the Word of God to their lives rather than conforming their lives to the Word of God. Amen? All right. You say, well, if I do all this Christian stuff, people are going to think I'm weird. I'm going to let you in on a secret. You are weird. Don't worry about it. Say, you shouldn't talk to me like that. Well, I'm old and decrepit and senile. Okay, let's take a look here. I want to explain verse 1, okay, as it's getting going here. It talks about, you know, the seven stars, the seven golden candlesticks. What is this? Look back at chapter 1, right, look at the last verse of chapter 1. It explains this. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Okay? So right here talks about the stars being angels. The word angel in the original language is the word messenger. Conservative Bible commentators think that here it's saying that the angels are the pastors of the seven churches. Now, Brother Boyer, I hope your wife understands the concept of a pastor being an angel better than my wife has understood that. June seems to have forgotten that I'm an angel. All right, but anyway. Sharon gets it there. All right. Anyway, all right. Now that we've got that settled, that's important doctrine. Now, here's the Savior's distinction of the church. Look at the good things he says. I don't know a church that's a Bible-believing church, our kind of church, that wouldn't love to have verse 2 and verse 3 written about them. Look at this. I know your works, your labor, your patience. And how the bad guys, you didn't tolerate them either. And then in verse 3, thou hast borne and hast patience and labored. Man, oh man, list after list of good things the church did. Their work was right. Their doctrine was right. Do you know, That word patience, in our modern English, we kind of get the idea of an old couple sitting on in rocking chairs on the front porch. That's really not what the Bible means, the old English word patience. It means bearing up under a load. It's never been easy to live the Christian life. And here in America, we're beginning to see some of that happen. I love that video from President Reagan. I love our country. But just in my lifetime, what I have seen our country go through, we turned our back on God. And the blessing of God seems to be removed. And you know what really makes me nervous? The gospel is thriving in China. It's thriving in India, where the persecution is almost what it is in China. And the gospel's thriving. It's thriving in the Muslim countries. I could go in Africa, in other places. And in America, it's not. I've had people ask me, what do you think it's going to take? And it scares me what it's going to take. And we're beginning to see that, and it's only going to get worse. You understand? You know, and don't get me all this stuff. All this stuff's going to have, the rapture's going to happen tomorrow. Where did you get that? How do you know that? I want you to go tell the believers in China about how bad we have it. Hey, in India, the Hindus are in charge. They have a caste system. Yeah, the Hindus, the Muslims, and we are the bottom of the barrel. There's only one of those three major religions that is growing in India. You know which one it is? The bottom of the barrel. Do you know what widow burning is to the Hindus? They deny this publicly, like the Mormons deny polygamy, unless they can practice it and get by with it. You know what I'm saying? Then they're all for it. If June and I were big time fundamental Hindus, if I died, they would burn me. And they would burn her whether she were dead or not. How's that sound? Ladies, you like that idea? You want one of those coexist bumper stickers? You like that? You say, no, they don't do that. They do that. All righty? Period. It's not even a debatable topic. That's what it's like. Now, anyway, the word patience, bear up under a load. Luke 18:1, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Did you ever give up on somebody in prayer? Did you ever pray once for something and it didn't come to pass and you kind of, you give up on that? I'm telling you what, it's different when you're praying and it's serious. You know what I'm saying? Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Proverbs 24, 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, now think about that, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. When are you supposed to faint if it's not the day of adversity? God says your strength's small. They take false teachers and they say who they are. They point, I'm not pointing that any of you are false teachers over here. I'm just pointing that direction. Okay? They do the job. And then comes verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, our churches, fundamental Bible-believing churches, I am a fundamentalist. That tag doesn't bother me at all. You know what I mean? I don't know anything different. And I believe it's biblical. All right? A lot of times we dot our I's and cross our T's properly, and we should and we shouldn't stop doing that. But look what Jesus says. Where's your love? Your love is gone, and that's a problem. June and I have been married 46 and a half years. This coming Thanksgiving will be 50 years since the first time we were ever on a date. We didn't even know courting existed. We never heard of it. And if that's your belief, more power to you. All right. But we dated. It was the dedication of the amphitheater at Bob Jones University, our first date. From that time to today, I mean, that was at Thanksgiving my freshman year. By Christmas, I knew I was going to marry her. I had not shared that with her. And she felt the same way and had not shared it with me. I mean, we were freshmen. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And then she went through in 3.5 years. We got married during Christmas break our senior year. She was done. I had a semester to go. All righty? You say, what's this? What would happen if I had a relationship with another woman like I have with her? How good would that go? That or this? Exactly. Exactly. She is the love of my life. Her shoe and purse collection are unmatched by normal women. And don't sit there and act like that's not the case. And this business meeting we have on Tuesdays, just a few miles from one of the best outlet malls we've ever seen in our life. All righty. Okay. But anyway, I'm not complaining, just sharing the facts. Okay. No, and I do love my wife. I want her to know that, you know. And if we love the Lord, it'll show. Amen? That doesn't mean we have to go around acting weird. The world thinks we're weird. If the world thinks we're normal, there's something wrong with our witness. What did the world think of Jesus? What did the world think of the apostles? Now, I mean, I know, take Judas out. But the good apostles, what did the world think of them? Martyred every one of them. But John, they tried to kill him. He lived through it. Can you imagine trying to martyr somebody and they live? That was John. Paul, at one point, the Bible tells us in Acts 14, his first missionary trip, he was stoned and left for dead. Do you think that would discourage a normal person? The Bible says, next verse, he was in the next town, preaching, going on. Don't worry about what society thinks. Worry about what Jesus thinks. You know, keep your finger here. Turn over to Matthew 22. Turn over to Matthew 22. About, not quite halfway through, groups of people start trying to see if they can trap Jesus. I won't ask how many of you ever tried to do that to your teachers when you were in school. Oh, I never tried to do that. Anyway, only when I could. But it starts off the Herodians. They're the Jews that supported Rome and Herod. And they started off about, should we pay our taxes? You know, and Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto God that which is God. Remember that? Don't you wish he would have said no on the taxes? You know. And then the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, ask Jesus about the resurrection. And Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, and we err when we don't apply the scriptures. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, I heard a better amen when you were worried about lunch, all right? There you go. And then it comes to the lawyer. It's always a lawyer. My oldest son-in-law is a lawyer. I give him the berries. But anyway, what's a great commandment? What's a great commandment? Look at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, the lawyer, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. How are you doing on that one? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you ever have weird neighbors? It says, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Where we live in Plymouth, Wisconsin, we live in the old section of town. Our house was built in 1907 or 1902, I forget which one, but a day or two ago. It's been redone since then. It's even got indoor plumbing. And we share a driveway. If you're standing in the street looking at our house, we share a driveway with the guy next to us, the house next to us on the left. When we first moved in, there was a single guy there, and he and I, we would share snow blowing. You guys understand snow blowing in this part of the country. Amen. All right. So sometimes he'd do it. Sometimes I'd do it. We'd take care of each other, you know. And the next couple moved in. And by the way, he got a girlfriend, and they came to church several times, and she got saved and so forth. They got married. And next ones moved in. They were living together. He never snow plowed one time, but he mowed my yard every day, every week in the summer. I did the snow. To me, that's a fair trade, because it doesn't snow every week in the winter. You know? Okay. And now we have a couple in there. They're not married, couple of kids living together. They do nothing. Nothing. When we left, his yard was almost up to my knees. Hadn't been mowed. The leaves from last year were still there because they hadn't been raked. All right. We have to knock them down to get them to say hi to us. Do I act like somebody that doesn't talk to people? I'm the guy that starts conversations in elevators. All right. You know, I mean, and they're weird. They have two poodles. Now, don't think of Fifi. They have regular-sized poodles. You know what regular-sized poodles were bred for? They were hunting dogs. They hunted bear. That's not Fifi. You understand what I'm saying? We come home, and they're white, I think. They will have the dogs dyed different colors. We came home one time, and the dog was dyed a zebra. If you doubt me, it'll take me a while, but right here's my phone. I got picture. All right? You understand? When we left, the one had pink on the head. And you know, they keep them clipped. And down around the bottom of the feet there, where there was that puff of stuff, those were pink. And the tail bob was pink. There ought to be a law against that. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus says, love your neighbor. I'd rather make fun of my neighbor. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you like making fun of your neighbor. Jesus says, love them. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Go back to Revelation 2. And he tells us where our love is supposed to be. And sometimes, as fundamentalists, we're more excited about getting people into our rules and regulations than we are getting them saved. And we don't love people, we love our standards. Well, I was at my son's there in Western Connecticut. We drove down to Ground Zero, where the World Trade Towers used to be. Without traffic, it's about an hour and a half from John's house to there. And in 1976, I spent 10 weeks in New York City on a mission trip. I had been to the World Trade Tower. I took my wife, the pastor that we're staying with in Michigan, they came to see us. We took our wives because he was on that mission trip. We've been on that World Trade Tower. You know what I mean? And we saw it. And the people are just everywhere. The different languages, some of them Middle Eastern, some of them Asian, there was Hispanic, they're The Lord has brought the world to us. And if we love him, we're going to witness to them. The guys in Sunday school, they're getting this twice. Amen. Guys are kind of slow. You know, we're cute, but stuff comes in on slow freight. You know what I mean? Just ask. I'm expecting some amens out of some women on that, right? You know, and stuff. All right? You know what happens in our Christian life? We begin to just coast. We start going through the motions. Say, what do you mean by that? We read our Bibles and we get in familiar verses, right? I'm no super Christian, but I read the Bible through several times a year, and I've been doing that for years. So I don't have it all memorized, but I know a few places. You understand what I'm saying? And you get the reading and it's a familiar place. And then you start thinking, but I got to do this today. I got to do that. I got to take June shoe shopping. I got to, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you have to do. And three chapters later, you don't remember where you were. Amen? Coasting. Coasting. Kind of going through the motions. We get to the place where the things of God are commonplace and they're not very exciting. You know, how many hunters do we have in here? Hunters. I mean, big time hunters. Raise your hand. Okay. I expected more than that. All right. Okay. Hey, when a hunter gets his buck, he doesn't just go, oh. I mean, he got another one. He is fired up, cranked up. How many golfers do we have in here? Man, do the guys in this church do anything? Right. You hit a hole in one, if I ever do. I hope I get a new hip. I do, because I can't. There's a lot of things I can't. Getting up is not always easy and things and stuff. If I ever hit a hole in one, you will hear it because I will be screaming. If I'm in Wyoming, you'll hear it here. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, things you like wind you up. Am I right or am I wrong? And we come to the things of God and we sit there like we're dead. We get more excited about our football team winning. Do you know the Packers got rid of Aaron Rodgers? I am so excited we got rid of that baby, that drama queen. I would have helped him pack to get rid of him. Was he a great quarterback? He was. Is he a crybaby? He is. I'm sick of it. You know what I mean? When my Packers win, it's a good day. When they lose, I mean, I don't go into funk and all that. It is just a football game. You know, it's not life or death. It's more important than that, you know, and stuff. But the things of the Lord don't excite us. The things of the Lord are not normal. They're special. Amen? And yet, so often, we take them as normal. The very fact that we can assemble here today is a blessing. You know what a church is like in India? Our kind of churches? They're about as big as half. It's divided in half. You have the women's side, you have the men's side. The accommodations are great. They're block walls, cement floor, and you sit on dyed burlap sacks. You say, I can prove it. Unless you're decrepit and falling apart like we are, there's some of those $5 plastic chairs from Walmart in the back that you can sit on. Let me tell you what it... We were in India last time in 2019, and we teach in a Bible college, and then we're out at night in churches, and then sometimes after that week or two in the Bible college, we go out. The Bible college, you know, they still have a lot of arranged marriages there. Last time we were there, and this girl, I think, was a graduate student in the ladies' program. After class, she said to June, she said, Mrs. Kimmel, she said, when you and Pastor Kimmel were dating, how long were you allowed to talk on the cellular to each other? June gave her a history lesson on the cellular. You know, the string and the tin cans and stuff. That's where we were in this, you know. But out in India, when we were there last time, it was a rainy season. That's planting season. People would get up 4:30 in the morning, and they would go and get breakfast and lunch. Oftentimes, they didn't have a stove, cooking on an open flame. They didn't have microwaves. Some may have had refrigerators, some did not. Okay? How's that sounding so far? Does that sound like a blessing? Get breakfast around, get lunch around for the adults and for the kids going to school and send them off. And the adults, for 8 to 10 hours a day, with my hip, I cannot do it, bent over planting rice in a field by hand. 8 to 10 hours a day. Sound fun? Okay? They come home in the same kitchen, prepare dinner, and then go to church. Church would start around 7. I would get up to preach at 8. And I preached at least an hour. So y'all are getting nervous now. And at the end of the service, they wouldn't leave. They wanted to talk. They wanted to pray with you. They wanted to meet you. And you know what they had to do the next day? Get up about 4:30 and repeat the scene I just told you. The gospel is thriving in India. Thriving in India. Can you imagine doing that? Coming to church, I'm too tired. Not too tired to watch your favorite TV show, but too tired to go to church. Am I right or am I wrong? That's what it's like here in America, and that's not what it's like in other places around the world. We get calloused. Spiritual things have a dead influence on us. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? Amen? How you doing on that? Anybody still have a ways to go? You know what I'm saying? All right? So the things of God ought to challenge us. Why don't they? The things of God should change us, because we've got a heap of changing that we need. Amen? The problem is we're feeding our soul with the world and not with the spiritual. And the world is winning out. And even when we're trying to be spiritual, the world, the flesh, and the devil still fight against us intensely. But what do we give into? Where do we yield in these things? And then, here's the Savior's demand for the church. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, we need to remember. What do we need to remember? You know, before you were saved, you were a sinner with no hope. All of us, we were sinners with no hope. Once we got saved, we were saints with nothing but opportunity. Opportunity to walk with God. Do you know my Bible says that God spoke and the world came into existence? Is that not incredible? The Bible talks about things that God did. I hope when we get to heaven, we get to see reruns. There's a lot of things I want to see. I have a very vivid imagination. Sometimes it's sanctified and sometimes it's not. And I want to see some stuff. You know what I mean? And the same God that did those things wants a relationship with me. and with you. And he wants to use us. He wants us to be his ambassador. You say, where do you find that? Read 2 Corinthians 5. It's towards the end of the chapter. He wants us to be his ambassador. What a privilege. What an opportunity. You say, I didn't sign up for that. Don't worry, you were drafted. All righty? Realize what privilege we have. He says we need to repent. Now, sometimes people get weird ideas about repent. Okay? People think you've got to weep and wail and gnash your teeth. And I'm not against emotion involved with repentance. But repentance in the original language is two words put together. Literally means turn your head around. You know, I'm going this way. If I repent, I turn my head around. And that means I'm supposed to bring the rest of my body with it. Not like some drivers who turn around and never leave it. But anyway, I'm supposed to turn around and go the different. That's repentance. So if I'm walking not where I should and I turn and walk where I should, I've repented. I've made changes that are good. And look what he says here. Remember from when you're fallen and repent and do the first works. Do the first works. You remember when you got saved? Reading the Bible was exciting. The things of God were exciting. I told you, when I got saved, I was 15 and a half. I didn't know the Bible. While I was being Florence Nightingale, and I was, my cooking willed her to get better. Amen. All right. I flew out to go to a funeral. She couldn't go. And this is a man who was very instrumental in me getting saved. And I got saved in January. This is in June. We're in the church, in the back of the church. And my father, who's now in heaven, his name's Grover, and this man's name's Bill. And I was walking up to this, and Bill said to Grover, Grover, I need somebody to tell the Bible story on my bus route. Do you think David would be interested? David had either just turned 16 or was about to turn 16. My birthday's June 24th. And I was walking up, and my father lied right in the middle of church. He said he would be glad to. David was not glad to. I was just about to open my mouth and say, no, I'm not interested. You say, your dad didn't ask your opinion? No. Should he have? No. Should you ask your kid's opinion? No. Say, will you make them? Absolutely. You say, you're brainwashing them. Guilty as charged. I don't think you ought to. You're brainwashed, and it's not by God. And you are brainwashed. Don't sit there and say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I worked at McDonald's Hamburgers. That was my first job where they took tax out of a check. The commercial on TV, two cheeseburgers, fries, a medium drink, and change back from a dollar. It was 99 cents. And your hair's got to be this color for you to remember that. All right. Okay. I worked at McDonald's. And my dad said, Bill, isn't there bus visitation on Saturday morning? And he said, yeah. Dad said, what time? He said, David will be there. I said, Dad, what if I have to work? I said, you'll have to tell him that you're obligated. You say, well, would your dad have given you the money that you weren't making? No. You didn't know my dad. No. I was sweating pounds off, worried about telling the Bible story Sunday on the bus. I mean, all this stuff was new. And they just bought my sister, who's 7 years younger than me, some Bible story books. And I got one of those and basically just read it and pointed at the pictures. for about the first month till I got a little bit of confidence. And then I could start telling them and turning the pages from this direction. Didn't hurt me. You say, well, I don't think you ought to make your kids do it. When your kid's 30, if I'm still alive, I want to report on how your kid's doing. How many times they've been in rehab? How many children do they have? By how many women? You say, I don't like your attitude. I don't like your direction either. So we're even. Say, are you like this all the time? Only when I'm awake. All right. Pray for June. She's had to put up with me for a long time. All right. And the preacher's thinking, is she ever going to shut up? All right. Remember, repent. Return. Get with it. I can remember reading the Bible stories and thinking, wow, did this really happen? And I was excited. I don't act like that now, but maybe I should when I read those things. And every now and then, even today, I have to read it and I kind of laugh about that really happened. God did that. What is your first love? Now get honest. Is your first love the Lord Jesus? Are you more interested in being right with your job than you are with God? Are you more interested in being in cool with your buds than you are being right with God? Are you more interested in chasing the things of the world rather than trying to be right with God? Amen? Amen? Amen. You don't want me to start over right now. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and to play when we pray. We're going to give you an opportunity to get right with God if you need one. Amen? Not mad at you? And I'm not trying to be mean, no matter what it sounds like. But is God your first love or not? Is he? We chase the world. We chase the dollar. You know, people call the dollar the almighty buck. Do we look at it that way, or do we see Almighty God? Does God promise to take care of your needs? Does he? But we have to be doing what's right for that to happen. What is our first love? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, for your love for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and what we have in him. God, help us to be honest with you and with ourselves, our condition. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today whose heart you're trying to get a hold of, I pray that they would submit to you and to do what's right. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking but me, I the only one looking, would there be someone who'd say, you know, preacher, the Lord's challenging me in my heart. Here is my hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Would there be others? The Lord's challenged me in some areas in my life. Another question. And I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out. Would there be someone saying, you know, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to be one of God's children. I want to be saved. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? I need to be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that have acknowledged that you're at work in their heart. And Lord, I pray, God, for you to have victory here in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist plays. If you need to step out and to come, you come. Heads bowed, eyes closed, you come. Let God have victory in your life here today. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you should have. You come.
Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, it's been good to gather around the preaching of thy word. Oh Lord, we're reminded that our love for thee needs to be first above all things. Oh Lord, for those of us, Lord, that thou knowest our hearts and our love has dwindled, oh Lord, help us to know, have the knowledge to repent of these things, turn back to thee, and renew our love with thee once again. Well, thank you for this help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.